seeing and hearing always go proximally beyond what is distantially closest. Seeing and hearing are distance senses, Fernsinne, not because they are far-reaching, but because it is in them that Dasein, as disseverant, mainly dwells. When, for instance, a man wears a pair of spectacles which are so close to him distantially that they are sitting on his nose, they are environmentally more remote from him than the picture on the opposite wall. Such equipment has so little closeness that often it is proximally quite impossible to find. Equipment for seeing, and likewise for hearing, such as the telephone receiver, has what we have designated as the inconspicuousness of the proximally ready to hand. So too, for instance, does the street, as equipment for walking. One feels the touch of it at every step as one walks. It is seemingly the closest and realest of all that is ready to hand, and it slides itself, as it were, along certain portions of one's body, the soles of one's feet. And yet it is farther remote from the acquaintance, whom one encounters on the street at a remoteness, Entfernung, of 20 paces when one is taking such a walk. Circumspective concern decides as to the closeness and farness of what is proximally ready to hand environmentally. Whatever this concern dwells alongside beforehand is what is closest, and this is what regulates our disseverances. If Dasein in its concern brings something close by, this does not signify that it fixes something at a spatial position with a minimal distance from some point of the body. When something is close by, this means that it is within the range of what is proximally ready to hand for circumspection. Bringing close is not oriented towards the I-thing encumbered with a body, but towards concernful being in the world, that is, towards whatever is proximally encountered in such being. It follows, moreover, that Dasein's spatiality is not to be defined by citing the position at which some corporeal thing is present at hand. Of course, we may say that even Dasein always occupies a place, but this occupying must be distinguished in principle from being ready to hand at a place in some particular region. Occupying a place must be conceived as a dissevering of the environmentally ready to hand into a region which has been circumspectively discovered in advance. Dasein understands its here, in terms of its environmental yonder. The here does not mean the where of something present at hand, but rather the where at, vorbei, of a disseverant being alongside, together with this disseverance. Dasein, in accordance with its spatiality, is proximally never here but yonder. From this yonder it comes back to its here, and it comes back to its here only in the way in which it interprets its concernful being towards in terms of what is ready to hand yonder. This becomes quite plain if we consider a certain phenomenal peculiarity of the disseverance structure of being in. As being in the world, Dasein maintains itself essentially in a dissevering. This disseverance, the farness of the ready-to-hand from Dasein itself, is something that Dasein can never cross over. Of course, the remoteness of something ready-to-hand from Dasein can show up as a distance from it if this remoteness is determined by a relation to some thing which gets thought of as present at hand at the place Dasein has formerly occupied. Dasein can subsequently traverse the between of this distance, but only in such a way that the distance itself becomes one which has been dissevered. So little has Dasein crossed over its disseverance that it has rather taken it along with it, and keeps doing so constantly. For Dasein is essentially disseverance, that is, it is spatial. It cannot wander about within the current range of its disseverances. It can never do more than change them. Dasein is spatial in that it discovers space circumspectively, so that indeed it constantly comports itself disseverantly towards the entities thus spatially encountered. As disseverant being in, Dasein has likewise the character of directionality. Every bringing close, Näherung, has already taken in advance a direction towards a region out of which what is dissevered brings itself close sich nähert, so that one can come across it with regard to its place. Circumspective concern is desevering, which gives directionality. In this concern, that is, in the being in the world of Dasein itself, a supply of signs is presented. Signs as equipment take over the giving of directions in a way which is explicit and easily manipulable. They keep explicitly open those regions which have been used circumspectively, the particular withers to which something belongs or goes, or gets brought or fetched. If Dasein is, it already has, as directing and desevering, its own discovered region. Both directionality and deseverance, as modes of being in the world, are guided beforehand by the circumspection of concern. Out of this directionality arise the fixed directions of right and left. Dasein constantly takes these directions along with it, just as it does its deseverances. Dasein's spatialization in its bodily nature is likewise marked out in accordance with these directions. This bodily nature hides a whole problematic of its own, though we shall not treat it here. Thus things which are ready to hand and used for the body, like gloves, for example, which are to move with the hands, must be given directionality towards right and left. A craftsman's tools, however, which are held in the hand and are moved with it, do not share the hand's specifically manual, handliche movements. So although hammers are handled just as much with the hand as gloves are, there are no right or left-handed hammers. One must notice, however, that the directionality which belongs to deseverance is founded upon being in the world. Left and right are not something subjective for which the subject has a feeling. They are directions of one's directedness into a world that is ready to hand already. By the mere feeling of a difference between my two sides, I could never find my way about in a world. The subject, with a mere feeling of this difference, is a construct posited in disregard of the state that is truly constitutive for any subject. Namely, that whenever Dasein has such a mere feeling, it is in a world already, and must be in it to be able to orient itself at all. This becomes plain from the example with which Kant tries to clarify the phenomenon of orientation. Suppose I step into a room which is familiar to me, but dark, and which has been rearranged, umgeräumt, during my absence, so that everything which used to be at my right is now at my left. If I am to orient myself, the mere feeling of the difference between my two sides will be of no help at all, as long as I fail to apprehend some definite object whose position, as Kant remarks casually, I have in mind. But what does this signify, except that whenever this happens, I necessarily orient myself both in and from my being already alongside a world which is familiar? The equipment context of a world must have been presented to Dasein. That I am already in a world is no less constitutive for the possibility of orientation than is the feeling for right and left. While this state of Dasein's being is an obvious one, we're not thereby justified in suppressing the ontologically constitutive role which it plays. Even Kant does not suppress it, any more than any other interpretation of Dasein. Yet the fact that this is a state of which we constantly make use does not exempt us from providing a suitable ontological explication, but rather demands one. The psychological interpretation according to which the I has something in the memory, im Gedächtnis, is at bottom a way of alluding to the existentially constitutive state of being in the world. Since Kant fails to see this structure, he also fails to recognize all the interconnections which the constitution of any possible orientation implies. Directedness with regard to right and left is based upon the essential directionality of Dasein in general, and this directionality in turn is essentially co-determined by being in the world. Even Kant, of course, has not taken orientation as a theme for interpretation. He merely wants to show that every orientation requires a subjective principle. Here, subjective is meant to signify that this principle is a priori. Nevertheless, the a priori character of directedness with regard to right and left is based upon the subjective a priori of being in the world, which has nothing to do with any determinate character restricted beforehand to a worldless subject. Disseverance and directionality as constitutive characteristics of being in are determinative for Dasein's spatiality, for its being concernfully and circumspectively in space, in a space discovered and within the world. Only the explication we have just given for the spatiality of the ready-to-hand within the world and the spatiality of being in the world will provide the prerequisites for working out the phenomenon of the world's spatiality and formulating the ontological problem of space. Section 24. Space and Dasein's Spatiality. As being in the world, Dasein has already discovered a world at any time. This discovery, which is founded upon the worldhood of the world, is one which we have characterized as freeing entities for a totality of involvements. Freeing something and letting it be involved is accomplished by way of referring or assigning oneself circumspectively, and this in turn is based upon one's previously understanding significance. We have now shown that circumspective being in the world is spatial, and only because Dasein is spatial in the way of disseverance and directionality can what is ready to hand within the world be encountered in its spatiality. To free a totality of involvement is, equiprimordially, to let something be involved at a region, and to do so by dissevering and giving directionality. This amounts to freeing the spatial belonging somewhere of the ready-to-hand. In that significance with which Dasein as concernful being in is familiar, lies the essential co-disclosedness of space. The space which is thus disclosed with the worldhood of the world still lacks the pure multiplicity of the three dimensions. In this disclosedness which is closest to us, space, as the pure wherein, in which positions are ordered by measurement and the situations of things are determined, still remains hidden. In the phenomenon of the region, we have already indicated that, on the basis of which, space is discovered beforehand in Dasein. By a region, we have understood the whither to which an equipment context, ready to hand, might possibly belong, when that context is of such a sort that it can be encountered as directionally dissevered, that is, as having been placed. This belongingness, Gehörigkeit, is determined in terms of the significance which is constitutive for the world, and it articulates the hither and thither within the possible whither. In general, the whither gets prescribed by a referential totality which has been made fast in a for the sake of which of concern, and within which letting something be involved by freeing it assigns itself. With anything encountered as ready to hand, there is always an involvement in, by, a region. To the totality of involvements which makes up the being of the ready to hand within the world, there belongs a spatial involvement which has the character of a region. By reason of such an involvement, the ready-to-hand becomes something which we can come across and ascertain as having form and direction. With the factical being of Dasein, what is ready-to-hand within the world is dissevered and given directionality, depending upon the degree of transparency that is possible for concernful circumspection. When we let entities within the world be encountered in the way which is constitutive for being in the world, we give them space. This giving space, which we also call making room for them, consists in freeing the ready-to-hand for its spatiality. As a way of discovering and presenting a possible totality of spaces determined by involvements, this making room is what makes possible one's factical orientation at the time. In concerning itself circumspectively with the world, Dasein can move things around or out of the way or make room for them, Weg und Einräumen, only because making room, understood as an existentiale, belongs to its being in the world. But neither the region previously discovered, nor in general the current speciality, is explicitly in view. In itself it is present, zugegen, for circumspection, in the inconspicuousness of those ready-to-hand things in which that circumspection is concernfully absorbed. With being in the world, space is proximately discovered in this spatiality. On the basis of the spatiality thus discovered, space itself becomes accessible for cognition. Space is not in the subject, nor is the world in space. Space is rather in the world, insofar as space has been disclosed by that being in the world which is constitutive for Dasein. Space is not to be found in the subject, nor does the subject observe the world as if that world were in a space. But the subject, Dasein, if well understood ontologically, is spatial. And because Dasein is spatial in the way that we have described, space shows itself as a priori. This term does not mean anything like previously belonging to a subject, which is proximally still worldless and which emits a space out of itself. Here, a priority means the previousness with which space has been encountered as a region whenever the ready-to-hand is encountered environmentally. The spatiality of what we proximally encounter in circumspection can become a theme for circumspection itself, as well as a task for calculation and measurement, as in building and surveying. Such thematization of the spatiality of the environment is still predominantly an act of circumspection, by which space in itself already comes into view in a certain way. The space which thus shows itself can be studied purely by looking at it, if one gives up what was formerly the only possibility of access to it, circumspective calculation. When space is intuited formally, the pure possibilities of spatial relations are discovered. Here one may go through a series of stages in laying bare pure homogeneous space, passing from the pure morphology of spatial shapes to analysis situs, and finally to the purely metrical science of space. In our present study, we shall not consider how all these are interconnected. Our problematic is merely designed to establish ontologically the phenomenal basis upon which one can take the discovery of pure space as a theme for investigation and work it out. When space is discovered non-circumspectively by just looking at it, the environmental regions get neutralized to pure dimensions. Places, and indeed the whole circumspectively oriented totality of places belonging to equipment ready to hand, get reduced to a multiplicity of positions for random things. The spatiality of what is ready to hand within the world loses its involvement character, and so does the ready to hand. The world loses its specific aroundness. The environment becomes the world of nature. The world, as a totality of equipment ready to hand, becomes spatialized, verräumlicht, to a context of extended things which are just present at hand and no more. The homogeneous space of nature shows itself only when the entities we encounter are discovered in such a way that the worldly character of the ready-to-hand gets specifically deprived of its worldhood. In accordance with its being in the world, Dasein always has space presented as already discovered, though not thematically. On the other hand, space in itself, so far as it embraces the mere possibilities of the pure spatial being of something, remains proximally still concealed. The fact that space essentially shows itself in a world is not yet decisive for the kind of being which it possesses. It need not have the kind of being characteristic of something which is itself spatially ready to hand or present at hand. Nor does the being of space have the kind of being which belongs to Dasein, though the being of space itself cannot be conceived as the kind of being which belongs to a res extensa, extended thing. It does not follow that it must be defined ontologically as a phenomenon of such a res, thing. In its being, it would not be distinguished from such a res. Nor does it follow that the being of space can be equated to that of the res cogitans, a thing which thinks, and conceived as merely subjective, quite apart from the questionable character of the being of such a subject. The interpretation of the being of space has hitherto been a matter of perplexity, not so much because we have been insufficiently acquainted with the content of space itself as a thing, des Sachgehaltes des Raumes selbst, as because the possibilities of being in general have not been in principle transparent, and an interpretation of them in terms of ontological concepts has been lacking. If we are to understand the ontological problem of space, it is of decisive importance that the question of being must be liberated from the narrowness of those concepts of being which merely chance to be available, and which are for the most part rather rough, and the problematic of the being of space, with regard to that phenomenon itself and various phenomenal spatialities, must be turned in such a direction as to clarify the possibilities of being in general. In the phenomenon of space, the primary ontological character of the being of entities within the world is not to be found, either as unique or as one among others. Still less does space constitute the phenomenon of the world. Unless we go back to the world, space cannot be conceived. Space becomes accessible only if the environment is deprived of its worldhood. And spatiality is not discoverable at all except on the basis of the world. Indeed, space is still one of the things that is constitutive for the world, just as Dasein's own spatiality is essential to its basic state of being in the world. Chapter 4. Being in the world as being with and being oneself, the they. Our analysis of the worldhood of the world has constantly been bringing the whole phenomenon of being in the world into view, although its constitutive items have not all stood out with the same phenomenal distinctness as the phenomenon of the world itself. We have interpreted the world ontologically by going through what is ready to hand within the world. And this interpretation has been put first because Dasein, in its everydayness, with regard to which Dasein remains a constant theme for study, not only is in a world but comports itself towards that world with one predominant kind of being. Proximally, and for the most part, Dasein is fascinated with its world. Dasein is thus absorbed in the world. The kind of being which it thus possesses, and in general the being in which underlies it, are essential in determining the character of a phenomenon which we are now about to study. We shall approach this phenomenon by asking who it is that Dasein is in its everydayness. All the structures of being which belong to Dasein, together with the phenomenon which provides the answer to this question of the who, are ways of its being. To characterize these ontologically is to do so existentially. We must therefore pose the question correctly and outline the procedure for bringing into view a broader phenomenal domain of Dasein's everydayness. By directing our researches towards the phenomenon which is to provide us with an answer to the question of the who, we shall be led to certain structures of Dasein which are equiprimordial with being in the world. Being with and Dasein with. Mitsein und Mitdasein. In this kind of being is grounded the mode of everyday being one's self, Selbstsein. The explication of this mode will enable us to see what we may call the subject of everydayness, the they. Our chapter on the who of the average Dasein will thus be divided up as follows. 1. An approach to the existential question of the who of Dasein. 2. The Dasein with of others, and everyday being with. 3. Everyday being oneself, and the they. Section 25. An approach to the existential question of the who of Dasein. The answer to the question of who Dasein is one that was seemingly given in Section 9, where we indicated formally the basic characteristics of Dasein. Dasein is an entity which is, in each case, I, myself. Its being is, in each case, mine. This definition indicates an ontologically constitutive state, but it does no more than indicate it. At the same time, this tells us, ontically, though in a rough and ready fashion, that in each case an I not others, is this entity. The question of the who answers itself in terms of the I itself, the subject, the self. The who is what maintains itself as something identical throughout changes in its experiences and ways of behavior, and which relates itself to this changing multiplicity in so doing. Ontologically, we understand it as something which is in each case already constantly present at hand, both in and for a closed realm, and which lies at the basis, in a very special sense, as the subjectum. As something self-same in manifold otherness, it has the character of the self. Even if one rejects the soul substance and the thinghood of consciousness, or denies that a person is an object, ontologically one is still positing something whose being retains the meaning of present at hand, whether it does so explicitly or not. Substantiality is the ontological clue for determining which entity is to provide the answer to the question of the who. Dasein is tacitly conceived in advance as something present at hand. This meaning of being is always implicated in any case where the being of Dasein has been left indefinite. Yet presence at hand is the kind of being which belongs to entities whose character is not that of Dasein. The assertion that it is I who in each case Dasein is ontically obvious, but this must not mislead us into supposing that the root for an ontological interpretation of what is given in this way has thus been unmistakably prescribed. Indeed, it remains questionable whether even the mere ontical content of the above assertion does proper justice to the stock of phenomena belonging to everyday Dasein. It could be that the who of everyday Dasein just is not the I myself. If, in arriving at ontico-ontological assertions, one is to exhibit the phenomena in terms of the kind of being which the entities themselves possesses, and if this way of exhibiting them is to retain its priority over even the most usual and obvious of answers, and over whatever ways of formulating problems may have been derived from those answers, then the phenomenological interpretation of Dasein must be defended against a perversion of our problematic when we come to the question we are about to formulate. But is it not contrary to the rules of all sound method to approach a problematic without sticking to what is given as evident in the area of our theme? And what is more indubitable than the givenness of the I? And does not this givenness tell us that, if we aim to work this out primordially, we must disregard everything else that is given, not only a world that is, eine seienden Welt, but even the being of other eyes? The kind of giving we have here is the mere formal, reflective awareness of the eye. And perhaps what it gives is indeed evident. This insight even affords access to a phenomenological problematic in its own right, which has in principle the signification of providing a framework as a formal phenomenology of consciousness. In this context of an existential analytic of factical Dasein, the question arises whether giving the I, in the way we have mentioned, discloses Dasein in its everydayness, if it discloses Dasein at all. Is it then obvious a priori that access to Dasein must be gained only by mere reflective awareness of the I of actions? What if this kind of giving itself, on the part of Dasein, should lead our existential analytic astray and do so indeed in a manner grounded in the being of Dasein itself? Perhaps when Dasein addresses itself in the way which is closest to itself, it always says, I am this entity, and in the long run says this loudest when it is not this entity. Dasein is in each case mine, and this is its constitution. But what if this should be the very reason why, proximally and for the most part, Dasein is not itself? What if the aforementioned approach, starting with the givenness of the I to Dasein itself, and with a rather patent self-interpretation of Dasein, should lead the existential analytic, as it were, into a pitfall? If that which is accessible by mere giving can be determined, there is presumably an ontological horizon for determining it. But what if this horizon should remain in principle undetermined? It may well be that it is always ontically correct to say of this entity that I am it. Yet the ontological analytic which makes use of such assertions must make certain reservations about them in principle. The word I is to be understood only in the sense of a non-committal formal indicator, indicating something which may perhaps reveal itself as its opposite, in some particular phenomenal context of being. In that case, the not-I is by no means tantamount to an entity which essentially lacks I-hood, Ichheit, but is rather a definite kind of being, which the I itself possesses, such as having lost itself, Selbstverlorenheit. Yet even the positive interpretation of Dasein, which we have so far given, already forbids us to start with the formal givenness of the I if our purpose is to answer the question of the who in a way which is phenomenally adequate. In clarifying being in the world, we have shown that a bare subject without a world never is proximally, nor is it ever given. And so in the end, an isolated I without others is just as far from being proximally given. If, however, the others already are there with us, mit da sind, in being in the world, and if this is ascertained phenomenally, even this should not mislead us into supposing that the ontological structure of what is thus given is obvious, requiring no investigation. Our task is to make visible phenomenally the species to which this Dasein, with, in closest everydayness belongs, and to interpret it in a way which is ontologically appropriate. Just as the ontical obviousness of the being in itself of entities within the world misleads us into the conviction that the meaning of this being is obvious ontologically, and makes us overlook the phenomenon of the world, the ontical obviousness of the fact that Dasein is, in each case, mine, also hides the possibility that the ontological problematic which belongs to it has been led astray. Proximally, the who of Dasein is not only a problem ontologically, even ontically it remains concealed. But does this mean that there are no clues whatever for answering the question of the who by way of existential analysis? Certainly not. Of the ways in which we formally indicated the constitution of Dasein's being in sections 9 and 12 above, the one we have been discussing does not, of course, function so well as such a clue as does the one according to which Dasein's essence is grounded in its existence. If the I is an essential characteristic of Dasein, then it is one which must be interpreted existentially. In that case, the who is to be answered only by exhibiting phenomenally a definite kind of being which Dasein possesses. If in each case Dasein is itself only in existing, then the constancy of the self, no less than the possibility of its failure to stand by itself, requires that we formulate the question existentially and ontologically as the sole appropriate way of access to its problematic. But if the self is conceived only as a way of being of this entity, this seems tantamount to volatilizing the real core of Dasein. Any apprehensiveness, however, which one may have about this, gets its nourishment from the perverse assumption that the entity in question has at bottom the kind of being which belongs to something present at hand, even if one is far from attributing to it the solidity of an occurrent corporeal thing. Yet man's substance is not spirit as a synthesis of soul and body. It is rather existence. Section 26. The Dasein with of others and everyday being with. The answer to the question of the who of everyday Dasein is to be obtained by analyzing that kind of being in which Dasein maintains itself proximally and for the most part. Our investigation takes its orientation from being in the world, that basic state of Dasein by which every mode of its being gets co-determined. If we are correct in saying that by the foregoing explication of the world, the remaining structural items of being in the world have become visible, then this must also have prepared us, in a way, for answering the question of the who. In our description of that environment which is closest to us, the work world of the craftsman, for example, the outcome was that along with the equipment to be found when one is at work, in Arbeit, Those others for whom the work, Werk, is destined are encountered too. If this is ready to hand, then there lies in the kind of being which belongs to it, that is, in its involvement, an essential assignment or reference to possible wearers, for instance, for whom it should be cut to the figure. Similarly, when material is put to use, we encounter its producer or supplier as one who serves well or badly. When, for example, we walk along the edge of a field but outside it, the field shows itself as belonging to such and such a person, and decently kept up by him. The book we have used was bought at so-and-so's shop, and given by such and such a person, and so forth. The boat anchored at the shore is assigned in its being in itself to an acquaintance who undertakes voyages with it. But even if it is a boat which is strange to us, it still is indicative of others. The others who are thus encountered in a ready-to-hand environmental context of equipment are not somehow added on in thought to some thing which is proximally just present at hand. Such things are encountered from out of the world in which they are ready to hand for others, a world which is always mine too in advance. In our previous analysis, the range of what is encountered within the world was, in the first instance, narrowed down to equipment ready to hand, or nature present at hand, and thus to entities with a character other than that of Dasein. This restriction was necessary not only for the purpose of simplifying our explication, but above all because the kind of being which belongs to the Dasein of others, as we encounter it within the world, differs from readiness to hand and presence at hand. Thus, Dasein's world frees entities which not only are quite distinct from equipment and things, but which also, in accordance with their kind of being as Dasein themselves, are in the world in which they are at the same time encountered within the world, and are in it by way of being in the world. These entities are neither present at hand nor ready to hand. On the contrary, they are like the very Dasein which frees them, in that they are there too and there with it. So if one should want to identify the world in general with entities within the world, one would have to say that Dasein too is world. Thus, in characterizing the encountering of others, one is again still oriented by that Dasein which is, in each case, one's own. But even in this characterization, does one not start by marking out and isolating the I, so that one must then seek some way of getting over to the others from this isolated subject? To avoid this misunderstanding, we must notice in what sense we are talking about the others. By others, we do not mean everyone else but me, those over against whom the I stands out. They are rather those from whom, for the most part, one does not distinguish oneself, those among whom one is too. This being there too, auch Dasein, with them, does not have the ontological character of a being present at hand, along with them, within a world. This with is something of the character of Dasein. The two means a sameness of being as circumspectively concernful being in the world. With and to are to be understood existentially, not categorially. By reason of this with-like, mithaften, being in the world is always the one that I share with others. The world of Dasein is a with-world, mitwelt. Being in is being with others. Their being in themselves within the world is Dasein with, mit Dasein. When others are encountered, it is not the case that one's own subject is proximally present at hand and that the rest of the subjects, which are likewise occurrents, get discriminated beforehand and then apprehended. Nor are they encountered by a primary act of looking at oneself in such a way that the opposite pole of a distinction first gets ascertained. They are encountered from out of the world in which concernfully circumspective Dasein essentially dwells. Theoretically concocted explanations of the being present at hand of others urge themselves upon us all too easily. But over against such explanations, we must hold fast to the phenomenal facts of the case which we have pointed out, namely that others are encountered environmentally. This elemental, worldly kind of encountering, which belongs to Dasein and is closest to it, goes so far that even one's own Dasein becomes something that it can itself proximally come across only when it looks away from experiences and the center of its actions, or does not as yet see them at all. Dasein finds itself proximally in what it does, uses, expects, avoids, in those things environmentally ready to hand with which it is proximally concerned. And even when Dasein explicitly addresses itself as I here, this locative, personal designation must be understood in terms of Dasein's existential spatiality. In interpreting this, we have already intimated that this I here does not mean a certain privileged point, that of an I thing, but is to be understood as being in terms of the yonder of the world that is ready to hand, the yonder which is the dwelling place of Dasein as concern. W. von Humboldt has alluded to certain languages which express the I by here, the thou by there, the he by yonder, thus rendering the personal pronouns by locative adverbs, to put it grammatically. It is controversial whether indeed the primordial signification of locative expressions is adverbial or pronominal. But this dispute loses its basis if one notes that locative adverbs have a relationship to the I qua Dasein. The here and the there and the yonder are primarily not mere ways of designating the location of entities present at hand within the world at positions in space. They are rather characteristics of Dasein's primordial spatiality. These supposedly locative adverbs are Dasein designations. They have a signification which is primarily existential, not categorical. But they're not pronouns either. Their signification is prior to the differentiation of locative adverbs and personal pronouns. These expressions have a Dasein signification which is authentically spatial, and which serves as evidence that when we interpret Dasein without any theoretical distortions, we can see it immediately as being alongside the world with which it concerns itself, and as being alongside it spatially, that is to say, as dissevering and giving directionality. In the here, the Dasein, which is absorbed in its world, speaks not towards itself but away from itself towards the yonder of something circumspectively ready to hand. Yet it still has itself in view in its existential spatiality. Dasein understands itself proximally and for the most part in terms of its world, and the Dasein with of others is often encountered in terms of what is ready to hand within the world. But even if others become themes for study, as it were, in their own Dasein, they're not encountered as person things present at hand. We meet them at work, that is, primarily in their being in the world. Even if we see the other just standing around, he's never apprehended as a human thing present at hand, but his standing around is an existential mode of being, an unconcerned, uncircumspective tarrying alongside everything and nothing, verweilen bei allem und keinem. The other is encountered in his Dasein with in the world. The expression Dasein, however, shows plainly that, in the first instance, this entity is unrelated to others, and that, of course, it can still be with others afterwards. Yet one must not fail to notice that we use the term Dasein with to designate that being for which the others, who are, die Seienden anderen, are freed within the world. This Dasein with of the others is disclosed within the world for a Dasein, and so too for those who are Daseins with us, die Mitdaseienden, only because Dasein in itself is essentially being with. The phenomenological assertion that Dasein is essentially being with has an existential ontological meaning. It does not seek to establish ontically that factically I'm not present at hand alone, and that others of my kind occur, if this were what is meant by the proposition that Dasein's being in the world is essentially constituted by being with, then being with would not be an existential attribute which Dasein, of its own accord, has coming to it from its own kind of being. It would rather be something which turns up in every case by reason of the occurrence of others. Being with is an existential characteristic of Dasein, even when, factically, no other is present at hand or perceived. Even Dasein's being alone is being with in the world. The other can be missing only in and for a being with. Being alone is a deficient mode of being with. Its very possibility is the proof of this. On the other hand, a factical being alone is not obviated by the occurrence of a second example of a human being beside me, or by 10 such examples. Even if these and more are present at hand, Dasein can still be alone. So being with, and the facticity of being with one another, are not based on the occurrence together of several subjects. Yet being alone among many does not mean that with regard to their being they are merely present at hand there alongside us. Even in our being among them, they are there with us. Their Dasein with is encountered in a mode in which they are indifferent and alien. Being missing and being away, das Fehlen und Fortsein, are modes of Dasein with, and are possible only because Dasein as being with lets the Dasein of others be encountered in its world. Being with is, in every case, a characteristic of one's own Dasein. Dasein with characterizes the Dasein of others to the extent that it is freed by its world for a being with. Only so far as one's own Dasein has the essential structure of being with, is it Dasein with as encounterable for others. If Dasein with remains existentially constitutive for being in the world, then, like our circumspective dealings with the ready-to-hand within the world, which, by way of anticipation, we have called concern, it must be interpreted in terms of the phenomenon of care, for as care, the being of Dasein in general is to be defined. Compare Chapter 6 of this division. Concern is a character of being, which being with cannot have as its own, even though being with, like concern, is a being towards entities encountered within the world. But those entities towards which Dasein as being with comports itself do not have the kind of being which belongs to equipment ready to hand. They are themselves Dasein. These entities are not objects of concern, but rather of solicitude. Even concern with food and clothing and the nursing of the sick body are forms of solicitude. But we understand the expression solicitude in a way which corresponds to our use of concern as a term for an existentiale. For example, welfare work, Fürsorge, as a factical social arrangement, is grounded in Dasein's state of being as being with. Its factical urgency gets its motivation in that Dasein maintains itself proximally, and for the most part, in the deficient modes of solicitude. Being for, against, or without one another, passing one another by, not mattering to one another, these are possible ways of solicitude, and it is precisely these last-named deficient and indifferent modes that characterize everyday, average being with one another. These modes of being show again the characteristics of inconspicuousness and obviousness, which belong just as much to the everyday Dasein with of others within the world as to the readiness to hand of the equipment with which one is daily concerned. These indifferent modes of being with one another may easily mislead ontological interpretation into interpreting this kind of being, in the first instance, as the mere being present at hand of several subjects. It seems as if only negligible variations of the same kind of being lie before us. Yet ontologically there is an essential distinction between the indifferent way in which things at random occur together and the way in which entities who are with one another do not matter to one another. With regard to its positive modes, solicitude has two extreme possibilities. It can, as it were, take away care from the other and put itself in his position in concern. It can leap in for him. This kind of solicitude takes over for the other that with which he is to concern himself. The other is thus thrown out of his own position, He steps back so that afterwards, when the matter has been attended to, he can either take it over as something finished and at his disposal, or disburden himself of it completely. In such solicitude, the other can become one who is dominated and dependent, even if this domination is a tacit one and remains hidden from him. This kind of solicitude, which leaps in and takes away care, is to a large extent determinative for being with one another, and pertains for the most part to our concern with the ready-to-hand. In contrast to this, there is also the possibility of a kind of solicitude which does not so much leap in for the other as leap ahead of him, ihm vorausspringt, in his existentielle potentiality for being, not in order to take away his care, but rather to give it back to him authentically as such for the first time. This kind of solicitude pertains essentially to authentic care, that is, to the existence of the other, not to a what with which he is concerned. It helps the other to become transparent to himself in his care and to become free for it. Solicitude proves to be a state of Dasein's being, one which, in accordance with its different possibilities, is bound up with its being towards the world of its concern, and likewise with its authentic being towards itself. Being with one another is based proximally and often exclusively upon what is a matter of common concern in such being. A being with one another which arises, entspringt, from one's doing the same thing as someone else, not only keeps for the most part within the outer limits, but enters the mode of distance and reserve. The being with one another of those who are hired for the same affair often thrives only on mistrust. On the other hand, when they devote themselves to the same affair in common, their doing so is determined by the manner in which their Dasein, each in its own way, has been taken hold of. They thus become authentically bound together, and this makes possible the right kind of objectivity, die rechte Sachlichkeit, which frees the other in his freedom for himself. Everyday being with one another maintains itself between the two extremes of positive solicitude, that which leaps in and dominates, and that which leaps forth and liberates, vorspringend, befreienden. It brings numerous mixed forms to maturity. To describe these and classify them would take us beyond the limits of this investigation. Just as circumspection belongs to concern as a way of discovering what is ready to hand, solicitude is guided by considerateness and forbearance. Like solicitude, these can range through their respective deficient and indifferent modes up to the point of inconsiderateness or the perfunctoriness for which indifference leads the way. The world not only frees the ready-to-hand as entities encountered within the world, it also frees Dasein and the others in there Dasein with. But Dasein's ownmost meaning of being is such that this entity, which has been freed environmentally, is being in the same world in which, as encounterable for others, it is there with them. We have interpreted worldhood as that referential totality which constitutes significance. In being familiar with this significance and previously understanding it, Dasein lets what is ready to hand be encountered as discovered in its involvement. In Dasein's being, the context of references or assignments which significance implies is tied up with Dasein's ownmost being, a being which essentially can have no involvement, but which is rather that being for the sake of which Dasein itself is as it is. According to the analysis which we have now completed, being with others belongs to the being of Dasein, which is an issue for Dasein in its very being. Thus, as being with, Dasein is essentially for the sake of others. This must be understood as an existential statement as to its essence. Even if the particular factical Dasein does not turn to others and supposes that it has no need of them or manages to get along without them, it is in the way of being with. In being with, as the existential for the sake of others, these have already been disclosed in their Dasein. With their being with, their discloseness has been constituted beforehand. Accordingly, this discloseness also goes to make up significance, that is to say, worldhood. And significance, as worldhood, is tied up with the existential for the sake of which, since the worldhood of that world in which every Dasein essentially is already, is thus constituted, it accordingly lets us encounter what is environmentally ready to hand as something with which we are circumspectively concerned, and it does so in such a way that together with it we encounter the Dasein with of others. The structure of the world's worldhood is such that others are not proximally present at hand as free-floating subjects, along with other things, but show themselves in the world in their special environmental being, and do so in terms of what is ready to hand in that world. Being with is such that the disclosedness of the Dasein with of others belongs to it. This means that because Dasein's being is being with, its understanding of being already implies the understanding of others. This understanding, like any understanding, is not an acquaintance derived from knowledge about them, but a primordially existential kind of being, which, more than anything else, makes such knowledge and acquaintance possible. Knowing oneself, sich kennen, is grounded in being with, which understands primordially. It operates proximally in accordance with the kind of being which is closest to us, being in the world as being with. And it does so by an acquaintance with that which Dasein, along with the others, comes across in its environmental circumspection and concerns itself with, an acquaintance in which Dasein understands. Solicitous concern is understood in terms of what we are concerned with and along with our understanding of it. Thus, in concern for solicitude, the other is proximally disclosed. But because solicitude dwells proximally and for the most part in the deficient, or at least the indifferent modes, in the indifference of passing one another by, the kind of knowing oneself which is essential and closest demands that one become acquainted with oneself. And when indeed one's knowing oneself gets lost in such ways as aloofness, hiding oneself away, or putting on a disguise, being with one another must follow special routes of its own in order to come close to others, or even to see through them, hinter sie zu kommen. But just as opening oneself up, sich offenbaren, or closing oneself off, is grounded in one's having been with one another, as one's kind of being at the time, and indeed is nothing else but this, even the explicit disclosure of the other in solicitude, grows only out of one's primarily being with him in each case. Such a disclosure of the other, which is indeed thematic, but not in the manner of theoretical psychology, easily becomes the phenomenon which proximally comes to view when one considers the theoretical problematic of understanding the psychical life of others, fremden Seelenlebens. In this phenomenally proximal manner, it thus presents a way of being with one another understandingly, but at the same time it gets taken as that which, primordially and in the beginning, constitutes being towards others and makes it possible at all. This phenomenon, which is none too happily designated as empathy, Einfühlung, is then supposed, as it were, to provide the first ontological bridge from one's own subject, which is given proximally as alone, to the other subject, which is proximally quite closed off. Of course, being towards others is ontologically different from being towards things which are present at hand. The entity, which is other, has itself the same kind of being as Dasein. In being with and towards others, there is thus a relationship of being, Seinsverhältnis, from Dasein to Dasein. But it might be said that this relationship is already constitutive for one's own Dasein, which, in its own right, has an understanding of being and which thus relates itself towards Dasein. The relationship of being which one has towards others would then become a projection of one's own being towards oneself into something else. The other would be a duplicate of the self. But while these deliberations seem obvious enough, it is easy to see that they have little ground to stand on. The presupposition which this argument demands, that Dasein's being towards an other is its being towards itself, fails to hold. As long as the legitimacy of this presupposition has not turned out to be evident, one may still be puzzled as to how Dasein's relationship to itself is thus to be disclosed to the other as other. Not only is being towards others an autonomous, irreducible relationship of being, this relationship as being with is one which, with Dasein's being, already is. Of course, it is indisputable that a lively mutual acquaintanceship on the basis of being with often depends upon how far one's own Dasein has understood itself at the time. But this means that it depends only upon how far one's essential being with others has made itself transparent and has not disguised itself. And that is possible only if Dasein, as being in the world, already is with others. Empathy does not first constitute being with. Only on the basis of being with does empathy become possible. It gets its motivation from the unsociability of the dominant modes of being with. But the fact that empathy is not a primordial existential phenomenon, any more than is knowing in general, does not mean that there is nothing problematical about it. The special hermeneutic of empathy will have to show how being with one another and Dasein's knowing of itself are led astray and obstructed by the various possibilities of being which Dasein itself possesses, so that a genuine understanding gets suppressed and Dasein takes refuge in substitutes. The possibility of understanding the stranger correctly presupposes such a hermeneutic as its positive existential condition. Our analysis has shown that being with is an existential constituent of being in the world. Dasein with has proved to be a kind of being, which entities encountered within the world have as their own. So far as Dasein is at all, it has being with one another as its kind of being. This cannot be conceived as a summative result of the occurrence of several subjects. Even to come across a number of subjects, eine Anzahl von Subjekten, becomes possible only if the others who are concerned proximally in their Dasein with are treated merely as numerals, Nummer. Such a number of subjects gets discovered only by a definite being with and towards one another. This inconsiderate being with reckons, rechnet, with the others without seriously counting on them, auf sie zählt, or without even wanting to have anything to do with them. One's own Dasein, like the Dasein with of others, is encountered proximally, and for the most part in terms of the with world with which we are environmentally concerned. When Dasein is absorbed into the world of its concern, that is, at the same time, in its being with towards others, it is not itself. Who is it, then, who has taken over being as everyday being with one another? Section 27. Everyday being one's self and the they. The ontologically relevant result of our analysis of being with is the insight that the subject character of one's own Dasein and that of others is to be defined existentially, that is, in terms of certain ways in which one may be. In that with which we concern ourselves environmentally, the others are encountered as what they are what they do. Sie sind das, was sie betreiben. In one's concern with what one has taken hold of, whether with, for, or against the others, there is constant care as to the way one differs from them, whether that difference is merely one that is to be evened out, whether one's own Dasein has lagged behind the others and wants to catch up in relation to them, or whether one's Dasein has already some priority over them and sets out to keep them suppressed. The care about this distance between them is disturbing to being with one another, though this disturbance is one that is hidden from it. If we may express this existentially, such being with one another has the character of distantiality, Abständigkeit. The more inconspicuous this kind of being is to everyday Dasein itself, all the more stubbornly and primordially does it work itself out. But this distantiality which belongs to being with is such that Dasein, as everyday being with one another, stands in subjection, Botmäßigkeit, to others. It itself is not. Its being has been taken away by the others. Dasein's everyday possibilities of being are for the others to dispose of as they please. These others, moreover, are not definite others. On the contrary, Any other can represent them. What is decisive is just that inconspicuous domination by others, which has already been taken over unawares, from Dasein, as being with. One belongs to the others oneself and enhances their power. The others, whom one thus designates in order to cover up the fact of one's belonging to them essentially oneself, are those who proximally and for the most part are there in everyday being with one another. The who is not this one, not that one, not oneself, man selbst, not some people, einige, and not the sum of them all. The who is the neuter, the they, das man. We have shown earlier how in the environment which lies closest to us, the public environment already is ready to hand, and is also a matter of concern, mitbesorgt. In utilizing public means of transport and in making use of information services, such as the newspaper, every other is like the next. This being with one another dissolves one's own Dasein completely into the kind of being of the others. In such a way, indeed, that the others, as distinguishable and explicit, vanish more and more. In this inconspicuousness and unascertainability, the real dictatorship of the they is unfolded. We take pleasure and enjoy ourselves as they, man, take pleasure. We read, see, and judge about literature and art as they see and judge. Likewise, we shrink back from the great mass as they shrink back. We find shocking what they find shocking. The they, which is nothing definite and which all are, though not as the sum, prescribes the kind of being of everydayness. The they has its own ways in which to be. That tendency of being with, which we have called distantiality, is grounded in the fact that being with one another concerns itself as such with averageness, which is an existential characteristic of the they. The they, in its being, essentially makes an issue of this. Thus the they maintains itself factically in the averageness of that which belongs to it, of that which it regards as valid and that which it does not, and of that to which it grants success and that to which it denies it. In this averageness with which it prescribes what can and may be ventured, it keeps watch over everything exceptional that thrusts itself to the fore. Every kind of priority gets noiselessly suppressed. Overnight, everything that is primordial gets glossed over as something that has long been well known. Everything gained by a struggle becomes just something to be manipulated. Every secret loses its force. This care of averageness reveals in turn an essential tendency of Dasein, which we call the levelling down, Einebenung, of all possibilities of being. Distantiality, averageness, and levelling down, as ways of being for the they, constitute what we know as publicness, die Öffentlichkeit. Publicness proximally controls every way in which the world and Dasein get interpreted, and it is always right, not because there is some distinctive and primary relationship of being, in which it is related to things, or because it avails itself of some transparency on the part of Dasein which it has explicitly appropriated, but because it is insensitive to every difference of level and of genuineness, and thus never gets to the heart of the matter, auf die Sachen. By publicness everything gets obscured, and what has thus been covered up gets passed off as something familiar and accessible to everyone. The they is there alongside everywhere, ist überall dabei, but in such a manner that it has always stolen away whenever Dasein presses for a decision. Yet because the they presents every judgment and decision as its own, it deprives the particular Dasein of its answerability. That they can, as it were, manage to have them constantly invoking it. It can be answerable for everything, most easily because it is not someone who needs to vouch for anything. It was always the they who did it, and yet it can be said that it has been no one. In Dasein's everydayness, the agency through which most things come about is one of which we must say that it was no one. Thus, the particular Dasein in its everydayness is disburdened by the they. Not only that, by thus disburdening it of its being, the they accommodates Dasein, kommt dem Dasein entgegen, if Dasein has any tendency to take things easily and make them easy. And because the